W-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Yes, everyone, what's going on? My name is Stephen Howson. This is The Warm Down. This is my granddad, John Howson, and delighted to be joined by for another episode today. This is brought to you by the good folks at The Athletic, and you can get 50% off your yearly subscription with The Athletic by using the link in the description or going to theathletic.co.uk/Howson. That is theathletic.co.uk/Howson, the new home of football writing and some really good stuff on there as well. Probably going to discuss one of those later. I have asked the Patreon group for some questions and things that they was after knowing. So I'm going to start with a couple of those. Grandad just said to me, thinks fucking Woodward's an idiot. I think we should fucking start on that, to be honest with you.
Well, as I say, it's just I don't even know what he does. He doesn't look the part. I think if the lads, which they did last week, the fans have a go at you, like they did, he looked like a little boy in the stand there. And I think any man would have really had a go back. I think he'd have asked for a telly afterwards. But no, I just don't know what he does. I've never heard of him in football. Finance, maybe, but you don't need a finance guy to run a football club, I don't think, anyway. You just need money and a good guy to buy people. And the I don't know. The man looks an idiot to me. I'm sorry to say.
Fair enough. Right, so we'll go to a couple of the questions that we've got from the lads on Patreon. And Michael Fraser says, will United win again with the Glazers in charge? Which is sort of, you know, going on the same vibe of where we've just started, really, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think, you know, I don't think it matters. As long as they get the people below them, you know, get a decent guy that'll buy the players that, that the manager just says, I want him, go get him, and he goes and gets him.
Is that the issue? Is that,
yeah, I think
because the Glazers are in charge, you're never going to have someone going for the best in class, the best, you know, who's the best guy?
No, I don't think it matters. I mean, it didn't matter. Obviously, Louis Edwards and all them didn't know what he was doing really by football wise.
What was the Edwards family? Was it Butchers?
Butchers, yeah, from Newton Heath. But they give Busby what he wanted, and that's all he wants, and that's all that any manager would want. These have got to do the same. We haven't heard that they'd refused them because they just spent a lot of money now, 120-odd million. If they're no good, it's no good that the managers picked them then. But they have given money. Mm. So if the manager says to that Woodward, I want him, and he doesn't get him, now that's his fault, not the Glazers and not the managers. And I think that's happened in the last few years. That we've heard that the manager has asked for someone and he was late and things like that in the transfer window.
There was some talk of the last winter transfer window that Jose had while he was here, that he was, I mean, right or wrong, he was adamant he wanted Danny Rose from Tottenham. And supposedly the board was saying, why not have Ryan Sessegnon instead? And he was saying, look, I want ready-made players now. We need ready-made players right now. Give me another couple of years. And then I'll start looking at some young uns. Ironically, he's now got to Spurs, and he's just been Danny Rose, and he's got Ryan Sessegnon.
Yeah.
As mad as that's ended up turning out. But yeah, I think that was where I can understand the frustration and totally understand the frustration of someone like Jose having a sit-down with someone like Woodward and saying, here's what I want. Mm. And then the fact that Woodward even has an opinion is ludicrous, isn't it? Like, hang on, I'm Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
Or even Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who some people might think's not all that, but
it's a thought of mine that Jose Mourinho, I wanted him to take over as Fergie left, That was my idea to the thing. And I was hoping that Fergie would stay until he got Marino. And I think it had been a different story then.
Daniel says, also, if I can get another question in, I've not read his initial question yet, but I'll get to that in a sec. What was the feeling around the league a year or so after Munich? Was the media as bad as it is today, or were they generally supportive of St Martin United regrowing?
Oh, no, it was nowhere near the things that they do today, really. If you read the papers now, it's always been that United even hated around the country. Obviously, we have always called it jealousy, but the things are terrible, what they say today. At the time, after Munich, there was a great sympathy all through the country. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of fans that didn't care at all, but I think they give them a lot of sympathy, the press, no doubt about it. A lot of clubs and even club leaders didn't. It's a waste of time talking about that now. Yeah, I think it was pretty good after Munich. No doubt about it.
Well, in terms of the attitude to us around the country and the rebuild.
There was great sympathy, you've got to say that. You know, there's a lot of people forget now. There was a lot of fans was terrible. Not papers. Papers wasn't that bad. But a lot of fans around the country were terrible, really. Didn't care at all. And they forgot one thing, that there were six England players at least died there, and it was a World Cup year. Mm. And I and a lot of people, even people I talked to down London and all that, they thought that England would have won the World Cup. Because you can imagine, the lad that made his name in 58 was Pelle. He'd have been playing against Duncan Edwards at 22, or whatever it had been then. But who had 4 years' experience, he wouldn't have got a kick. And he was Jack the lad, wasn't he? He won it for him. And I thought they would have won the World Cup that year, but everybody seemed to forget that they'd lost six England players as well, like your own players.
Was that where the split in the fan base that watched United and City started to happen? Because prior to Munich, it seems like, and you even spoke about it yourself, like when United played away, you'd go and watch City at home, mostly because of the group of mates you was with.
Yeah, but it was half and half split with fans. If there was 14 of us, you could say there was seven of each. But they did the same. They came to Old Trafford with us. So you know, we went to a game every week, in other words. And I was married, like, obviously. Even the married ones, it was a day out as well. So we got it every Saturday at Main Road or Old Trafford.
When did that stop? Not just for you, but when do you think that stopped as a cultural thing?
Oh, it was... I'd say late 70s into really? The 80s, yeah.
Really? That late?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I went. I mean, I worked away for years, as you know. And I went once. They just signed Gary Birtles. I don't know when that was. And I just went. I got stood behind my brother, actually. He was down in his usual season ticket place behind the director's box. And I stood at the back of the stand there and watched this guy. And he told me I'd get out in him because I was saying, who's that lunatic we've signed? And he was bad, and they got rid of him. But, they were still there. They were still going, all the lads.
One of the questions we've got, and quite a few questions are sort of touching on this. Let me find this one. What was the worst period that you've seen as a United fan in terms of how we are on the pitch?
Between?
That's from Tonis.
Between Busby and Fergie. Definitely. They didn't have a clue how to fix it.
So we had Wilf, McGuinness initially. Was it the Doc straight after him?
No. Farrell and Sexton. I don't know if Ron Atkinson could be. He might have come after them and then the Doc.
No, Ron Atkinson was the one just prior to Fergie.
Right, so it was the Doc, yeah. But, I think it frightened him.
The job?
The job. except for, I mean, Ron Atkinson was all right. He was slide his life, but the doc was a typical Scots. And that's what's, it's a thing I've got against United at the moment. They've always looked, these people now, abroad for a manager. The good managers are the two Scotsmen who've done everything we wanted. The lad, until his brains fell below his belly button, Doherty, who would have done it, I think, and he was Scotch.
Hmm. It did seem like Doherty was doing bits with
it. I think he'd have made it. But, of course, they wouldn't have that, but he did. But, and when you think about it, now they look for foreign managers, and the best ones have ever had are British.
Yeah, but who's British that you could get in now?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's very hard to, I'd have to have a think about that one. but they're there, aren't they? You know, this, what's his name now? It's just, he left Liverpool, went to Celtic, down south now.
Oh, Rodgers?
Rodgers, why not?
Well, why him over Solskjaer?
Well, because he's done it, hasn't he? He's been there.
All right, winning a league in Scotland, is that any better than winning a league in Norway?
He was good at Liverpool. Liverpool's just been, forget it, haven't they, for years. Just think it's 30 years now since he won the league.
They're winning this year, though.
They might win it, 22 points in front in February.
Yeah, they might win it.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, don't forget, even City's brought this guy on, they got over to win the European Cup. And he's been given 4 years now, and he had 3 years at Bayern Munich to do the same. 7 years since he left Barcelona.
Nearly £2 billion spent in that time as well.
And the money is unbelievable, isn't it? You know, and who he wants. I mean, he's picked him, who he wants.
Hmm. Signed 31 players, I say.
Yeah, and the fixture list is terrible for him. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, they lost one player and really fell off, haven't they? With Laporte, and they lost him. You know, we've basically not had Pogba all season. We've just lost Rashford.
Yeah, well, you know, United haven't got the backup after, that you need, you know, the right through the team. But they've done well when they have had injuries. They've had a lot of injuries, and they've done well. It's a shame, you know, the man's trying to change our fixtures and God knows what now. Once dropping the League Cup, because he's having a hard time. United's run the treble once. Now you go right to the end then, don't you? With all the games.
Oh, it was a 3 cup finals.
Yeah.
Look, we needed. We didn't have the league sewn up until the final day.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on Solskjaer? Think he needs time, or do you think he's got it?
United don't need time. Don't have time. That's the trouble with it. You know, it's not like you can say, give him a year. Well, I think give him this year, obviously, but even if he said come up, saying, you know, United, he's not going to be in the top four. So he's failed. This year he's failed.
But haven't we only finished in the top four like twice post-Fergie?
Yeah.
But it's not something we do regular. They should be, but we, arguably, you know, and we've had some great managers post-Fergie and David Moyes. You know, Louis van Gaal, Jose Mourinho. If those two guys who've won European Cups all over the gaff couldn't put us into the top four consistently. But yeah, they couldn't.
There's something wrong. I wanted him, as you know, Joe, but there's something wrong with him. He seems to upset the dressing room all the time. And I don't care who you are, he can't do that. With all different nationalities, there'll be lads there that he'll be upsetting, and they can't even talk to someone because they're on their own from wherever.
Isn't that one of the major jobs of the manager, is the management of the personalities?
Man management. I mean, he should be able to see that guy wants looking after. Rashford, he's prime. He's a shy bloke. He's not the one he can shout at him. Encouragement he wanted. And he left him. When I seen him, I thought he could be another George Best.
Rashford?
Yeah, and he nearly destroyed him.
What do you see in Rashford? Because Rashford started the season very well. Obviously, the injury he's got now. But prior to this season, I mean, I'm not one of them, but there were a lot of fans that didn't think he was even United standard. So what makes you think that? What have you seen in him where you go, George Best? Because that's not a small name around the club, is it?
Well, I know that more than anybody. I knew him from a kid. His confidence on the ball, I don't think he's got a lot of confidence. They need to get their confidence out of him, or Mourinho did, and didn't destroy him, really. Mm. But when I seen him first, and the confidence he had when he got the ball, and run at people, and run past them as well, 17, whatever he was, when I first seen him. Unbelievable. Speed on him. And then, all right, he's getting in the team, right? Like, have a good look at him now, out of the team.
You know, a lot of people who've never seen 5 minutes of George Best are going to say, you know, you don't have a fucking clue what you're talking about now.
Why?
Because that's the internet.
Well, I don't know.
That's George Best wasn't perfect every game, was he? He was pretty good.
Well, it depends what the drink he had the night before. And the woman he had at 12 o'clock on that day before he got on the pitch.
There's a rose tint into every one of these players. You know, Sir Bobby, George Best, even Duncan Edwards. I'm sure they were pretty fucking consistent players, but they must have had games where you just go, get him off.
Well, yeah, you couldn't get him off that quick then could you? You didn't have the players.
But you think Rashford's got the talent to have a career, hopefully not a career like George Best had, but maybe the impact George Best had. Some impact.
But
a Ballon d'Or in the next couple of years.
But don't forget, what I'm talking about when he was a kid, just come on, when I first seen him. And how much has he missed now because of that? I think Mourinho just fell out with him, didn't like him.
I don't think he liked him.
So there you go, that's the lad.
He played him a lot, and that's what a lot of people are going to say. Well, he played him all the time. Well, he didn't play him consistently in the same position, and he never started consistently.
No, he was coming on in and saying, now it's no good to a young lad.
Yeah.
Coming out, well, put him on first and get him off. Let's see how he plays. You know, but that coming on late on, okay, he might be winning when he puts him on. But the lads, they're not looking for him. They've gone past him, haven't they? You know, he's just come on. Hmm. Yeah, and it'll get warmed up down that wing and all that. Yeah, they're blowing the whistle, it's gone. You know, I thought he ruined him, honestly. It's a shame. Because I used to love Mourinho, even for his comments. But Rashford, yeah, I think he didn't ruin him, he's still there. And he's still got time, actually, to come out.
He's only 22.
Yeah, so he's got 5 years yet. For George's best his age when he was on his prime and left.
He retired at 26, 27,
yeah,
didn't he?
27, yeah.
What about Mason Greenwood? What do you think about that young lad coming through?
Yeah, he's good. He's very good. Not as quick as you'd think. I don't know. Oh, he's 21 now.
18.
He's 18. Well, who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
He's just come on, haven't he? He's 21.
Who? Dan James?
James, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Well, if he's 18, he's going to be a gun. There's no doubt about it. But they've got to handle him right, haven't they? You know, he's getting some stick off the papers. I've seen that. I think it was he had a strike, then he got a goal, a good strike, and it's a good job because it brought his game out. In other words, he hadn't done nothing.
Yeah, I think Mason, his finishing's outrageously good, but he does have these games. Well, I think every striker I've ever seen at the club, you know, Rude, Cantona, Andy Cole, I think they've all had periods of time when they didn't do a lot in the game, but the ball fell to him and they put it in the back of the net, and that's what
a striker.
You want. Yeah, that's what you want from a striker.
Yeah, years ago, obviously, we all thought the worst one that was in the side after the crash and all that was David Hurd. You know, no one talks about him now.
Mm.
You know,
a lot of goals though.
Oh, he scored a lot of goals. He was a great player because he was a foil. He'd be running down the middle with centre half next to him, shouting for the ball, and then he'd vanish out to the wing, and the centre half would go with him. Bang! He was in the net with Dennis Lord or Charlton or Best or whatever. You know, he was a great foil, and a good footballer. And United are missing people like that now. You know, where they're that good to get for scoring, just scoring goals. And they haven't got one. They need two strikers, great strikers. Now, that's what they need.
Yeah, I think so. We seem to have missed out on that Erling Haaland. Have you seen how many goals he's scored now in Germany?
Who?
Erling Haaland.
Haaland, no, no.
Let me get it up while we're here, because I think you miss half an hour of a game and he scored another four goals. Obviously, we missed out on him. We brought in Ighalo. What's your thoughts on that one?
I just haven't got any, because I haven't seen him. If you know what I mean.
But you say you don't watch much of the Chinese Super League?
Yeah, don't I?
So at the minute, Haaland with Dortmund in...
I've read a bit about him.
In two starts and two coming off the bench, he's got seven goals.
Yeah.
Just outrageous. He's got eight goals in four starts in the Champions League for Salzburg. And he's got one goal after coming off the bench in the German Cup. He's having an all right season, I think you could say. 49 goals in 33 appearances this year so far.
No, there's what I'm talking about. Someone like him, get back here. No, but it's right, isn't it? You know, that's what you need. That's what United need now at the moment. You want two really good strikers. Do you know, I was looking at the league. The goals against, again, are good, like there was last year. Very good, actually. Same as City. And I think he was better than City last year, wasn't he, at times, anyway. So they need goals. And he'd be up there. You know, fancy having two strikers that scored 20-odd goals each now. Another 50 goals.
Yeah, or even bringing in Pogba. You know, goals and assists there if he decides he wants to play. I'm not sure what's going on with him.
I think he's finished.
I think you're right. But, you know, we haven't had him all season. I think, you know, the slow pace of him coming back doesn't really fill me with the sort of thing that he
that agent is like the agents that they've had there when they're all the brothers. It seems to do what the agent says. We'll go in and make another few million. Mm. And the agent makes a few million with him.
More than a few. Jacob says, how do you feel about how big and global the club has become, and do you miss the local club feel?
I'm a Manchester lad, and I think the club feels here anyway, and always will be. But it's magic to see global, as you know anyway, about me with Malta and all that. I'll tell you a little story. I went working in Southern Ireland for a German company years ago. I was only 28 at the time, thinking I knew everything about United. 1970 it was, 71. And I talked to people in the west of Ireland and Southern Ireland, right down south coast of me. And these young lads was in, they come to listen to me talk for the accent. The college lads that knew me friend. And we started talking. They said, you're United, like, because they was all United fans. And I said, yeah. I thought I knew everything. They used to taught me a lesson about United. I was only 28, so I wasn't getting thick like I am now, but I couldn't beat them. They were just talking about all the U team, all the reserves. Well, don't you think he should have a chat? I didn't even know what he was talking about. and I read a lot then and everything. I went to the matches anyway when I was at home. But I've seen that now. Now I've travelled a lot in Malta and Cyprus, by the way. I talk to people there and they tell me what's going on at Old Trafford. It's unbelievable. But that really shocked me that time. I know it's global. I hope to God it always is. But I still think there's a real, real fan base in Manchester.
Undoubtedly.
Obviously, got to be. I think if I know Old Trafford, have worked there and everything. And it's piled with people from all over Asia and everything at a match. I think if they didn't come, it'd still be full. I think if all them fans that come from abroad stayed away, it'd still be full. In fact, it's now we make United fans that can't get in because of them. You know, they just say, can't get in Old Trafford, I'll watch it on the box.
Who's your favourite ever player and why from Paul?
Bobby Charlton. Well, there's two, actually. They're on a par with me anyway, and that's Bobby Charlton and Duncan Edwards. And that's all I can say about them. They're magic people. Bobby Charlton still is. You know, they ought to tell him, put him in Woodward's place. Tell him to go and get a player. And knock him sick if he stood next to him.
The fact that we have legends like Sir Bobby and Robbo's taken, I'm going to say, most of those ambassadorial jobs away from Sir Bobby now, I think, as he's getting on. But the fact that you've got Dwight York does bits, Quinton Fortune's doing bits, I can't think off the top of my head after the ones that they have in there now, but you see Rude, Ronnie Johnson, and obviously Brian Robson's a big part of one of those ambassadorial roles. Do you think they should have more of those involved in recruitment? Madrid famously have, they used to have Zidane before he was the manager. He'd show you around.
People like you just mentioned, it's unbelievable, you know, because you could get, you know, just taking one from Robson out of it and say, well, we've been told about this guy, go and watch him. Because that's what Busby used to do with his scouts. And if he says, well, because you got to see him, well, go get him. Why not say it to Robson, go and get him? He'd know what a player is.
Yeah.
That's that, isn't it? I mean, any of them players you've just mentioned could do the same.
Well, imagine some that are a bit more commercially known or global in their stature. Cantona, Evra, Beckham. Even Ruud van Nistelrooy, I would say. If you're a footballer anywhere in the world and they knock on your door, right, mate, come have a word.
That's right.
I'd like to talk to you about joining Manchester United. Yeah. You're opening the door at least. Whereas I think I don't think they do that. One of the reasons Ruud says he knew he was coming to United was he had that in. We had him over for a medical, didn't we? And his knee went. Or we sent him back and then his knee went. And then the week after, Fergie went round and knocked on his door and said, we're still here for you. Mm. Just get that knee sorted. And we'll
knew
come
he was
back
a player, yeah.
Now, that sort of personal touch resonated and meant a lot to Ruud, and that's one of the big reasons that Ruud came. But we don't seem to have that connection, desire, or even just that the manners almost to really go after somebody that.
It comes from the top, that, doesn't it? You know, like, not from the top, as I say, not the owners and that. They should be nothing to do with it. From people like Woodward, you tell me what you want and I'll go and do it.
Yeah.
And you're not spending more money than anybody else. So what's the difference of letting money? It's the lad to do it that know football.
Yeah.
Because you see things of Spurs have just bought a player for 17 million. They bought one for 5 million. Was it Arsenal? Bought someone for 5 million.
Oh, did they? No, that was a loan fee, I think.
In the same column. 67 million for United and 60 something million for. It must be when United inquire. You just say, I'll tell them 70 million, see what they say. And he buys them.
And I think that's the difference of having. There's a lad from round here. I've got my suspicions that he's a blue, but he's local anyway, Paul Mitchell. He did a cracking job. He was a nothing player. I think he might have played for Altrincham, somewhere around that level. Might be wrong on that. But he went to Milton Keynes and he was a bit of a sporting director at Milton Keynes. I think he was brought Dele Alli in, I think. Then he went to Southampton where Pochettino was, and he was the one who, I think, again, brought in the likes of Mane and Van Dijk and stuff like that, identified them nice and early, Alderweireld, possibly even helped bring through some of their academy, which was famed at the time for identifying really good players. Then he moved to Spurs, and then you see what Spurs have managed to accumulate. Now he's at Leipzig, and obviously Leipzig are doing bits in Bundesliga. The correlation of all of those clubs outperforming what they're supposed to do, for me, is Paul Mitchell. He's a director of football. He's got the contacts. He's got the respect within the game. Now, Woodward goes and sits down with, let's say, Sporting Lisbon for Bruno Fernandes. They say to him, he's 100 million. What can Woodward say? No, he's not. Mm. Based on what? Whereas Paul Mitchell goes, he knows the value of players. He knows how much Leipzig would get charged, Tottenham would get charged. Yeah. He sit there and go, you're not having my fucking pants down.
Exactly what I was just saying, really. You know, with that one article in the paper, 17 million for him and 5 million for him, and then in the same article, 67 million twice or whatever it was with United.
Yeah. I think even Dan James, we paid 15 and we'll go, that's a good bargain. I think he was available to Leeds for four.
Yeah.
2 months before, 3 months before.
And, you know, as I say, if you got someone like, as you've just mentioned them all anyway, Robson or Cantona, sat with him.
Imagine Cantona turning up anywhere.
It's a wonder he won't get a slap for saying that to him. 100 million for that. You know, because he knows players, isn't he? He might have just once seen him run down. He might think he's a good player, this. And then once he's seen him not keep up because that lad's going to give him the ball and he should be down that wing. And he might say he's not worth 10 million.
And Solskjaer, as well as manager, he's actually straddled. You know, he straddled Carrick's career. He was obviously there for a year with Carrick. He straddled Cantona's career, obviously. He straddled Rood's. He straddled Evra's, obviously, only a year again.
Sheringham, so don't forget Sheringham.
All of these players that have played with Ollie. So, you know, they're going to work together as a team, aren't they? Ollie's going to be like Eric, Paddy, whoever, Rood. Could you go and convince him for me? I was a former teammate. They can also give the player that they're trying to recruit a little bit of insight into, listen, I think you're going to get on with Solskjaer
don't forget all the different languages there you're talking about.
Yeah.
When you're going after him.
I think Evra speaks like five languages.
Yeah, but, you know, he's French. Well, there you go, Evra or Cantona or whatever. But you could go right through.
He speaks Italian, obviously. Evra alone, I think he speaks French, Spanish, and Italian at least, and there's probably some others in there too.
Yeah, that's another thing, a big thing, isn't it? You go start talking to someone, and Woodward, I don't know if he might speak 20 languages, but he won't be talking football, would he? Because he's not a footballer. There's no doubt about it. I'm still calling him an idiot, aren't I? And I don't know the French for that.
Yeah, I think we're in a weird, sticky place at the minute, aren't we? I've got no desire to see manager after manager with all these different philosophies and then all the different players that they want.
Well, what they've done up to now with managers since Fergie, they might as well try British. Try it. Why not? Get a good British man.
What, like David Moyes?
Well, he just slips up unbelievable, doesn't he?
That my issue like with, don't with forget, them, how they've all done is Moyes had the best team.
Yeah, and what did he do? That's what he done, changed it.
Yeah.
Slipped up badly.
Yeah.
And that first game.
Man management. Oh, the first game we won, didn't we? But like,
yeah, but he still changed the team.
Yeah.
He just won 11 points at Championship. And he changes the team. But don't forget, a man that did know what he was doing, Fergie, he was the one that said, get Moyes. But I bet he nearly died when he changed that team the first. He should have given it 3 months.
Well, there was...
And they couldn't blame him then, no, could they?
No.
If he'd give that side of Fergie 3 months and he said he's just not playing for me, well, then he's got to change his side then, hasn't he?
The proof of the man management side of a manager is that Fergie had Rio, would only play once a week. Obviously, next week we've got 3 matches in a week, haven't we? But like when you've got the likes of Rio, he plays one match a week. That's what Evans and Smalling, they were coming in alongside Vidic. And for that reason, then, your biggest game of the week, you bring Rio in for, and he gets through it. That changed under Moyes. He played consecutive games. Van Persie did his own training. And, in the season that Fergie had him, he played 38 games. Did his own training. Turned up, scored all the goals. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah.
Moyes was like, no, it's got to be like a military sort of boot camp style of vibe. We all run together, we train together. And Van Persie's out for half the season injured.
Mm.
No coincidence with that. I think, and I've heard this about Busby as well, the man management of the, men.
Well, he was something else, wasn't he? He said, right, you've been taught, your apprentices there, all of you. Busby Babes, wasn't it? You've been taught how to play football, go and play it. And there was no tactic talks or out like that. Go and play the football with Totti.
Yeah, and literally no tactics. Like, I spoke to Stepney and said, what did you do prepare for Benfica for the final 68? And he was like, nothing, played football.
Yeah, just go and play football.
And he said, in the tunnel, and I can't believe this, but I have to believe it, is in the tunnel, as they're walking out at Wembley, Busby elbows Nobby Styles in the back and he goes, oh, by the way, you're marking Eusebio.
Yeah.
And that was the tactics.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? What are you on about? That's the tactics.
He's looking for England as well, didn't he? Good.
And then, what was the other one? The half-time team talk from him in Madrid in 68, in the semi-final. We're losing. We're going out in the semi-final. Santiago Bernabeu. Closest we've come post Munich to get into this cup final. And he said, everyone walks in the dressing room, everyone's arguing. He said, and Busby just sat there smoking his pipe. He says, for like 10 minutes of the 15, and everyone sort of just slowly just got quieter and quieter. It's like, what's he doing? And even though if he didn't deliberately know or consciously know what he was doing, he was quiet in the room down, just sitting there smoking. And then he said he just started laughing to himself. He said, and then everyone was just like, what's he laughing at? And they just said, oh, you're good players, but you're not playing like good players. Go and play football. And that, I don't know if that calmed them down.
Well, it's another one, wasn't it?
What the hell is that? But it worked.
He had a bit of dodgy at the back, wasn't he, with wooden folks, I suppose. He wasn't a great player anyway, but Wood wasn't a very great goalkeeper. And they had a go at him anyway about it, and he said, what are you talking about? And he said, I get a lot of goals against. And he said, yeah, well, we score more. If they score four, we score five.
Busby, this is.
They were brought past him, yeah, asking him about the defence. And funny enough, one time they picked Wood Folks Burn at England. They all got a cap. Folks will tell you that. Magic man. Got a cap. Wood Folks Burn. They had to pick him anyway, didn't they? He was doing that well for United.
But they just didn't have the goal scorers up top.
Eh?
They didn't have the goal. But weren't the goal scorers? Who was the goal scorer at the time? Was it Tommy Taylor?
Tommy Taylor, yeah.
He's English.
Yeah.
So was he banging in for England as well?
Oh, yeah, he played for England, yeah. He had goal scorer, yeah. He had Quicksall. In the Quicksall. Sorry, Quicksall. Violet. Whelan. Inside forwards. I shouldn't say that these days, should I? Johnny Berry. David Pegg. Charlton was just coming in, by the way.
Yeah, you said, we've had this conversation before. I think you said Charlton was struggling to get into that side.
Of course he was, yeah.
Which gives us an insight into what that a mature
and by the way, it was like that about David Pegg and Albert Scanlon, who played on left wing. Oh, they could have put the England side out in that World Cup that year, 58. They could have put that side out because he had Wood Folks Burn, Coleman, Jones, Edwards. There you, all your back five. Berry, Violet, Taylor, Charlton, and Pegg or Scanlon, whoever. And they have two reserves as well.
How good was he, Tommy Taylor?
Very, very, very good.
You had to relate him to a modern style of centre forward.
He'd score goals. He was a David Hurd, like I've said before.
Yeah, no one knows who David Hurd is. Anyone that leaves that will know. Rude. Was he a fox in a box style? Just get on everything?
Yeah, he'd just score goals. And do that, set the men away, set the men to the wing. He'd set the centre half out away. And it was perfect, wasn't it, with the players we had. You know, with Dennis Law and Charlton and that. But you could have put an England side out with that team.
What made Edwards so good, so young?
Oh, I don't know. I can't talk about him really without even crying. No, he was great. He was just a natural. And I'd seen him about 18 years old and he was bollocking everybody. I mean, think about the team in there. What are you doing over there? And he took the ball off him. I think you might have seen it in films. He took the ball and he was saying, get up the field, before this. And all of a sudden he got the ball and he was all running about waiting for a pass and he just went right through, scored, leathered it. And was going like that to him as if that's what you do.
From positional-wise, left half doesn't really exist, is it? But it was almost like a deep-lying midfielder kind of role, but also a bit of a centre-half kind of role.
What would you call him? Like the styles. Like I've just been saying before, he had a centre-half, like Folks.
One centre-half on it.
Yeah, but he always had a defending wing-half, which Edwards was. He had Jones or Blanchflower, and he had Edwards, and Coleman was the attacking wing-half, very good footballer. So, yeah, he was a defender, because he was massive. He used to, when he tackled him, my God. Johnson in the Day a Team Died, the book by Taylor, Frankie Taylor. A very, very good player, Johnson. Playing for Scotland, and it was his first game, Duncan Edwards. And he was all having a laugh. He said, you got a 17-year-old against you today. supposed to be Jack the Lad for United. He was playing for City at the time, Johnson. All right. So he wrote in this, by the way, Johnson, and he says, I'll have a laugh with him. He was left half, he was right, inside right or something. So he goes up to him, and instead of trying to go past him, or down the wing or whatever, he turned left and went right over to the wing on the other side of the pitch. Well, no, he wouldn't go out of position now, the 17-year-old. And he said he got to the touchline and went to go down the touchline. And he said, me, the ball, and a pair of legs, went into the Gordons round the pit. And he said, I look round. He didn't have a good game at all, he said, after that. But he said, I look round, there's this guy walking around, walking back to his position. 17 he was. He said, unbelievable player. Now, he said that in that book. And he was only 17.
I think the Christmas before Munich happened, I think he'd just been voted in. I think he came in third place in the Ballon d'Or at 20 as a defender, which just just outrageous, isn't it? Yeah, and you think, like, how are people even seeing?
And you know, that's another thing. You know, that, when you've seen them playing well, and you looked at that, Roger Byrne, captain of England, captain of United. He'd tackle someone and that was him, and he'd put it to Edwards and it all just went forward. He wasn't going to lose it, and he'd put a ball right across the pitch or whatever, or he'd go right through them all. They'd bounce off him, and that he always looked for Eddie Coleman because he was a brilliant footballer. He used to sway as he run, and he even said it, I don't know if it was Wood or Greg, but he said when he run, it seemed like the stands were moving. But he wasn't going round anybody. He was swaying as he run. And the players would go run that way. And he's carrying on. The ball was going straight. It was a magic thing to see that. Yeah, Coleman. Eddie Coleman. Salford.
Should we wrap it up there?
Sorry?
Should we wrap it up there?
Yeah, if you like.
I was going to talk about this.
What was that? It's not 1950, is it?
It is, yeah. So this is my granddad's first match programme. I was going to talk about it, but it just never really felt like a good time to come up with it.
Blackpool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
September the 2nd, 1950.
You got beat.
69 and a half years ago. That make you feel old?
No, not old.
How much is the game actually changed since then?
Well, it's 3 pence.
For starters, yeah. 3D, it says.
3D, yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, it's about a penny, you know, isn't it? Okay. You throw them away, you know.
What's actually changed in the game in that 70 years? 70 fucking years. What's changed that much there?
Speed, that's all, I think.
Do you think?
Speed. They're fitter. There's no doubt about that. These days, they're very fit. And I think that's why it was great to watch him then. Because the game was slower, and you've seen football, and you've seen lunatics tackling, and you get, you know, people like George Best and Bobby Charlton and all that just jump over them, you know, and walk off, beat them easy. But that's the difference, I think, between now and then. It's just speed, nothing else. It's very fast. Football, I can't see anybody being better than Edwards and Charlton and Best and all them. You can't beat that football.
How good do you think someone like Rashford would have been then?
I think he'd been there.
Reckon.
If he was with Busby or Fergie, he'd have been there. I think Marino knocked him back 2 or 3 years. I do, honestly. And it's a shame because I like Marino.
The season he's having now under Ollie, no coincidence, is it? I don't think.
No. If he can get a better nice man management towards him now, I think he'd be a good player. By the time he's 27, Georgie Best's age, someone might say, hey, he's like Georgie Best him, besides me.
Where are we finishing this season?
Where we are.
What, 8th?
Roundabout.
Fucking hell.
Can't see it going anywhere else.
All right. Cheers. All right, nice one, Granad. Right, if you want to check out The Athletic, I did have an article to talk about, and it was is this the worst season in English football? And the reason I was going to talk about it is because Sir Matt Busby was defending the Football First Division in 1968 and saying it was a good standard. And he said there was no bad clubs in it. I did want to talk about that, but we haven't had time. So if you fancy it, I'll put a link in the description. Go and check it out. But you get 50% off your membership for The Athletic.
Be careful about that, because City won the championship.
Yeah. Well, and Liverpool had... We're going to say probably winning the league this year. Yeah, probably. Yeah. But if you fancy it, the link is in the description. It's theathletic.co.uk/Howson, and you get a month's free trial. So you go and check it out for free for a month, and then you can get it for 50% off. And I think I'm the only one that's still got 50% off. Even the people who write for The Athletic can only give you 25 and 30% off at the minute. So go use that and get it done. But thanks to my granddad for joining us.
Thanks
to you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next one. Laters.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.